Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is son of Yisrael Abel, Barclay Hawking, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is son of Yisrael Abel, Nebiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary.
But at this time, we'll turn the services over to one of the great sons of Yisrael Abel, the great future priest, Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'll be speaking a little bit about rejoicing and why we should rejoice. Now, for my opening scripture, if you turn to Luke 15, it's on page 800, or 801, Luke 15, verse 8 through 10. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 10. Now it says, Or that woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, then sweep the house and search diligently until she finds it. So she's looking for that certain coin that she has lost. Verse 9, and when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost. So they're rejoicing because she found the coin that she was looking for, that she had lost. Verse 10, I say to you, in the same way where there is joy in the presence of the Malachim of Yahweh over one sinner who repents. Now that's what we should be rejoicing for. We should be rejoicing that we are in the house of Yahweh, not for a coin that soon we won't need in the kingdom. We should be rejoicing that we found the house of Yahweh and that we are in the house of Yahweh. Now that word rejoicing in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's word number 4796 in the Greek, and it's from 4862. And from 5463, and it means to sympathize in gladness, to rejoice, rejoice with, and to be glad. Now, if you turn to Nehemiah 8, I want to remind you a little about what occurred back in the day. Nehemiah 8, and we'll start at verse 1. It's found on page 397. Nehemiah 8, verse 1, and it says, and all the people gathered together in one body in the open square in front of the water gate, and requested Azariah, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law given through Moshe, which Yahweh had commanded. So they were requesting the priest there to bring out the laws. Verse 2. It says, so Azariah the priest brought the law before the congregation, which was made up of men and women, all who could understand, on the first day of the seventh moon, which was the Feast of Trumpets. Now, at the last part of verse 3, it says, all the people listened attentively to the words of the book of the law. Then if you look down to verse 9, between there it talks about how they saw the book of the law and they praised Yahweh and they prayed about it. Now verse 9 it says, then Nehemiah the governor, Azariah the priest and scribe, and the Levites who instructed the people, said to the people, this day is holy to Yahweh your Father. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So you see there, we should be rejoicing because we have Yahweh's words. We have Yahweh's laws. Now, I have 7 things we should rejoice for. First, we have free peaceful solution classes. 2, we have the prophetic words, free prophetic words. 3, we have free newsletters. 4, we have Yishel Hawkins on the radio 24/7 teaching Yahweh's word. 5, clean food. 6, healthy food, clean healthy food. And then 7, salvation. So all these things are offered at Yahweh's house. Now there's 2 ways to rejoice. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, verse 4 through 6, it's found on page 896. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 6. And it says, love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful, is not puffed up with pride. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own advantage. It is not provoked, become worked up in irritation, and thinks no evil. Then verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So there's 2 things there that you can rejoice in. You can rejoice in iniquity, and you can rejoice in the truth. Now, rejoicing in iniquity means like causing pain. You rejoice because you caused pain to someone else. Like you purposely step on their toe. You rejoice because of that. That's rejoicing in iniquity. But rejoicing in the truth. Now, in the March 2015 Prophetic Word magazine, on page 8, Pastor put in here an article on anger, forgiveness, and depression. Now, halfway through the article, it says, resentment and anger are not only toxic, but often intoxicating. Anger can sometimes act as an antidote to feeling powerless. You can feel really powerful when you are indignant. But like many drugs, the feeling is artificial and fleeting. Forgiveness is really a choice we make. We have to forgive. Now, the last paragraph in the article, it says, remember, your mind is like a magnifying glass. Whatever you focus on will expand. Do you want to focus on resentment or forgiveness? Which one do you believe will ultimately make you feel and live better? Or which one will make you rejoice? Now, so if we're holding up anything in us, we have to forgive the person for whatever they did wrong that we're holding up. Now, I want everyone to remember that if we keep Yahweh's laws, we will be able to rejoice. If we're taking our honey and butter, eating the salt, things like that. Now, if you turn to 1 Kefa for my closing scripture, 1 Kefa, verse 4 through 8, that's found on page 956, 1 Kefa 1, verse 4 through 8. And it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and underfilled, and which does not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept by the power of Yahweh through the faith, for salvation ready to be revealed at the end time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you must suffer grief through manifold temptations. So you see there, we have to go through a little bit of grief. We have to have those tests to prove us fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which perishes, though it is tried with fire, might be found worthy of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yahshua Messiah. Now those are the things Yahshua had, glory and honor and blessings, in Revelation. Now verse 8, it says, although you have not seen him, you love him, whom now you do not see, you believing, you rejoice with inexpressible joy and full of glory. So we have to rejoice. Remember, we are in the house of Yahweh, and rejoice because we have Yahweh's word taught to us daily. Now, that's all the time I have. So if y'all please stand, remember to rejoice. And with that, I'll turn it over to the great Khan, Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Today we're going to take a look in the news, but I want you to keep your mindset when we're watching the news today. What would be the difference if society, if our world would have listened to Yisrael Hawkins 20, 30, 40 years ago? How much difference could we have made today? The first thing up is going to be cities are now crying out that their city water is so polluted that they can't even begin to bathe in it, much less drink it. And it's due to putting sanitizers in the water, and they've made it to where it even burns the eyes of the people trying to bathe in it. So here we have city water, and of course the drought. Scientists, NASA is saying that these droughts are only going to get worse. They're not going to get better. And in 4 years, look at it, 4 years, California already recycling the wastewater from their toilets. If they had four more years, what do you think they would be doing? You know, Yahweh prophesied these things would come to pass, but he said he would show his love to us by sending a person to tell us how to fix it. And that's exactly what he's done. Now also, scientists are now coming out showing and telling everyone how the microbes of bacteria are in the clouds, and they're using it for a super highway to travel to create snow, rain, hail, ice, and so on. Now keep in mind, when you hear weathermen talking about this jet stream that is causing these disasters, these tornadoes, dumping record amounts of snow, that's that same super highway, and these microbes, they're sick. They're trying to do their jobs, but they're sick. Also, the transmission of viruses. How easy is it for a virus to be transmitted? Consider that if you get the flu, or if you get an airborne virus that's respiratory, you've had to either inhale or swallow something that someone else has coughed up. If you get a stomach virus, you have to ingest it. And it doesn't take a map to show that a stomach virus comes out a different way, and you have to ingest that to get it. We live in a very filthy world, and we need to be mindful of these things, but remember what Pastor has brought us. Well, doctors are also saying with diseases, viruses such as MRSA, that antibiotics will not help you. It can't stop it, but garlic and onions will. Garlic and onions will. And notice the doctor says that they keep saying something about this ancient way of killing germs. Well, who is they? Well, of course, we know who they is. Also, CDC is rushing up to Indiana because they have an outbreak of 55 HIV cases. Now, think about this for a moment. CDC rushing to Indiana over 55 HIV outbreaks. And yet, Yisrael Hawkins wrote in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, warning the world about these diseases, about HIV, and we have 22 plus million dead. So why are they running to Indiana over 55? So listen carefully to how these things are being said and what's going on. Now, continuing, we're going to see how these diseases affect the minds, how they destroy the minds. Just like the microbes are sick, of course, the people are becoming sick to a point where a lady actually, she's trying to buy baby clothes for her child, which is on the way. She's 7 months pregnant. She goes to buy them, and she meets a woman who literally cuts her baby from her womb. Then also, the pilot who flies the plane into the side of the mountain, you know, how do you know when you go out and you get in these forms of transportation, how do you know the mindset of the individual? You don't. You don't know what they're doing in their life. Also, over 145 Kenyans killed at a college. A bloodbath is what they're calling it. And how close does this hit to home? We actually have a man here at the feast who worked at that college, and if he hadn't have been at the feast, he would have been at that college that day. So Yahweh guards and protects his people. Also, we're going to see wars and problems all around the world, and we're going to close it off with President Obama. Once again, he's looking for a peaceful solution. We have that peaceful solution. The future priest that just spoke gave President Obama, the CDC, everyone listening, 7 ways they can actually have this peaceful solution. But of course, Congress is fighting back. And notice, they say if they can't deal with this diplomatically, they're just going to have to go to war. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news.
Pay close attention. What you're about to see is Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Welcome to another edition of YPN News, bringing you the news that relates to Bible prophecy and foretold by Yeshua Hawkins. Well, today in the news, Catan, we have droughts and the lack of clean water that we're seeing more and more across the United States and elsewhere. We also have scientists now saying that they found bacteria up in the clouds, a very interesting article there. We also have the wars increasing, and several articles showing that the love of this world is growing very, very cold.
Very interesting.
Well, starting off today in Flint, Michigan, water giveaways have become commonplace due to the concern that the Flint River, where the municipal water comes from, is unsafe to drink. Now, the concern began after the financially struggling city decided to break away from the Detroit water system in order to save money. Residents and businesses in the community have been getting their water from the Flint River as they await the construction of a new water pipeline from Lake Huron, but that's scheduled to be completed in 2016, so they got a little bit of a wait there.
That's right. Well, Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality says Flint's drinking water is meeting applicable safe standards. The city itself notified residents in January it was in violation of the federal Safe Drinking Water Act due to high levels of a disinfectant byproduct found in the river. Now, city officials say more recent tests show the water is safe to drink, but residents are not convinced.
Well, longtime Flint resident Tony Palladino does not drink the water, but he does have to shower in it. Now, he explains some of the problems that this has caused him. He said, "My eyes are burning. I can hardly breathe. My skin is all rashed up." He said, "You know, and I'm furious about it. If you want me to be happy," he said, "give me some fresh water."
A very valuable resource that seems when it's gone, people really miss it. Well, in light of the continuing drought that has left California barren and dry this winter, Governor Jerry Brown announced plans to cut water usage, across California by 25% in the next 9 months. Well, Governor Brown stated, "We're in a historic drought, and that demands unprecedented action. It is for that reason that I am issuing an executive order mandating substantial water reduction across our state. As Californians, we have to pull together and save water in every way we can."
Well, the problem has only increased with the lowest snowpack measured in the mountains since 1950. Now, the snowpack drains into basins and supports 25 million people. The governor will have to mediate as farmers and city dwellers point the finger at each other over who is to blame for the water shortage. Now, farmers dislike how urban dwellers continue to maintain these huge lawns with the water-hungry landscapes, while those living in the urban areas say farmers are using exorbitant amounts of water to irrigate their crops. So I guess the choice would be, do you want a nice fresh green lawn to eat, or would you like the fresh vegetables?
Yeah, I get you. Guarantee you, when those stomachs start grumbling, they'll be appreciative of those farmers watering those crops. Well, over the past 4 years, drought has stricken California and the southwestern areas across the United States, which has cost billions of dollars in agricultural losses, fire damage, and lost jobs. Mm.
Well, a new NASA study found that parts of the U.S. are at risk for mega droughts during the second half of this century. Now, these droughts would hit the American Southwest and Great Plains and would be the worst the country has seen, and get this, Gatan, in the past 1,000 years.
Wow. Now, NASA climate scientist Ben Cook says these naturally occurring droughts typically last 10 years at the most. And our projections, what we're seeing with climate change, many of these types of droughts will likely last 20, 30, sometimes even 40 years. Now, according to the study, the likelihood of mega droughts between 2050 and 2099 is 80%. So the stakes are very, very high.
The study looked at tree rings from the past 1,000 years and other soil dryness measures. Now, scientist Kevin Antchakaitis said, "It is rare to see all signs pointing so unwaveringly toward the same result. In this case, a highly elevated risk of future mega droughts in the United States."
Well, not only are clouds beautiful and beneficial, but they are filled to the brim with bacteria. Scientists have found bacteria are living everywhere, on every surface of everything, all the time. And yes, even in the clouds.
Well, of course, we know bacteria lives in the air around us, close to Earth. But did you ever think about them living almost 25 miles up in the air and over all of the clouds up there?
Wow.
Now, scientists have found bacteria living above rainforests, above deserts, mountains, and seas, even inside hail and snow. But don't worry, it's not exactly a bad thing.
Well, scientists are now pondering what role bacteria have there, like helping in cloud formation and even living in lightning-prone storm clouds to encourage rain or hail. At a micro level, clouds are teeming with bacteria, algae, fungi, and many other tiny plants and animals, even animals. One reason for this is that microorganisms may see clouds as a giant transportation system, growing and multiplying inside of them so their colony can populate a new area and kind of like piggybacking on the hydrological cycle, one scientist said.
Wow. But a new study in environmental science and technology has found bacteria are quite satisfied to live in the upper atmosphere, not just use it to travel. The study was specifically done on a species of Bacillus bacteria that was found over France.
Bacteria have been collected from the sky since the 1920s. With the use of planes, people would fly up thousands of feet and collect samples, then bring them back down to Earth for testing. Recently, and somewhat unexpectedly, the researchers found that these cloud-borne organisms weren't dormant or floating aimlessly, but were actively consuming saccharides, or sugars, which are also found up in the clouds. Now, who would have thought that?
Well, the sugars are generated by plants and microorganisms found in the soil, and like bacteria, are blown up into the clouds by the wind. Bacteria uses those sugars to sustain themselves, but even more importantly, as building blocks to create polysaccharide armor, which serves to protect them from strong UV rays, as well as the really, really cold temperatures up there.
Well, that puts a little bit of clarification on freezing and extreme hot weather, that there are bacteria that can survive in both extremes. Now, from there, bacteria multiply, help form clouds, and then they rain, hail, or snow back to Earth again. There's even bacteria on the space station.
Wow.
Bacteria is inescapable.
Well, recent weekend storms in the South and Midwest affected some 9 million Americans. There were more than 160 water rescues in Louisville, Kentucky, after more than 6 inches of rain fell overnight, stranding cars and flooding homes. Now, the same large and persistent jet stream spawned tornadoes in the plains.
This is the same jet stream that has caused a historic drought in California and a record-breaking winter in the Northeast. Now, Greg Carbon with the Storm Prediction Center said, parts of the southern United States will remain at risk through the rest of the month of April, and then tornado activity will increase even more as we move into May across parts of the central United States.
Well, surprising news about onions and garlic, as researchers find out that they, along with a few other ingredients, might be able to kill MRSA, the superbug that is resistant to conventional antibiotics. Now, in a Fox News interview, Dr. Mark Siegel commented, the doctors, apparently researchers, went back to a 10th century sort of medical text. So they look back at the older books.
Right. Now, Dr. Siegel continued, I was very surprised by this and very excited because the problem with superbugs like methicillin-resistant staph is that we don't have a lot of treatments for it, and we're creating more and more of it, that is creating more and more of the MRSA, by not using disinfectants in hospitals properly and by overusing the antibiotics. So it's making the bugs even stronger.
That's right. Well, lastly, Dr. Siegel said the drug companies don't have incentives for making new antibiotics. So we got to look somewhere. And I like the idea of researchers looking back in time and saying, hey, why do they keep talking about this stuff? And it's interesting, Catan, that they said, why do they keep talking about it? Because in all our reporting, we only know that, or we've seen that Yishel Hawkins is the only one reporting on getting back to the basics and telling us about the bacteria in the clouds. And now you see all these things that the scientists are discovering.
That's right. Interesting. Well, usually once or twice a year, you might get a little under the weather. You know, sometimes it's bacteria, other times it's a virus. Well, in the case of viruses, they can invade the body through the respiratory system and plant themselves in a cell. Take a look at this 3D animation of how the virus actually enters the body and then starts to do its dirty work.
So let's say that this guy has the flu, could be any flu, and here's a droplet from his sneeze containing, if we move in and take a really close look, you see each one of those little purple things is a virus. And there are a lot of viruses floating through the air, some of which go inevitably up this unfortunate man's nose. I am talking with medical illustrator David Belinsky, who designed this video for Xyrus, a research company. So here comes the virus, and it's going to land on one of this guy's throat cells. So notice it's covered with little yellow knobby things. You call these keys, right?
Those are the keys.
Yeah. This is a key, this is a key, this is a key.
Okay, if the keys on this virus happen to fit the locks, which are those little purpley stick-uppy things on the surface of the cell, if there is a match, the cell, watch this, welcomes the virus in. And what's this?
This is the welcoming committee. They all interlock with each other, and they pull this membrane down into the cell.
And down it goes deeper and deeper, and that welcoming structure disperses. And the virus capsule bursts, and out comes the secret recipe for how to make more viruses in those little noodly things. So this unsuspecting cell has been tricked into guiding these virus recipes right into its own command center, the nucleus. So in they go.
And they are immediately recognized by this big pink molecule, which is a mini factory.
Yeah, what is it doing?
It threads the nuclear material, the instruction code of the virus, through one hole, and out another hole comes a brand new instruction set.
So it's a copying machine, making copy after copy after copy of virus recipes, which then go out of the nucleus to little chefs, those blue peanutty things. They cook up proteins that go back into the nucleus where they are reassembled into baby viruses, and then out they go. They get covered up and head to the surface where they get new keys, and then boom! Here they come. This is an eruption of virus after virus after virus after only one virus entered the cell. But how many came out? Well, millions. Millions. So if one virus can produce a million babies and do it again and again and again, how come this guy doesn't just drop dead, I don't know, in like 10 minutes?
Well, because you have about 100 trillion cells.
I see. So a million viruses is just a drop in the bucket when you have 100 trillion cells. And anyway, remember, you do have your own immune system, which when it sees a virus, usually kills it. So while the virus does multiply fast, with any luck, your immune system will work just a little faster. So yes, viruses, all viruses want to spread. That's what they do. But most of the time, we do keep them in check. Most of the time.
Very interesting.
Wow, amazing how the body works. Mm-hmm. Well, continuing on the topic of virus, the CDC is sending crews to the state of Indiana to assist with the recent outbreak of HIV. Now, since December, 55 people have been diagnosed as having the virus that causes AIDS. Now, many of the causes have been linked to intravenous users of an opiate painkiller.
Well, a woman who was responding to a Craigslist ad for some baby items for her soon-to-be-born baby ended up having that baby violently cut from her womb. She did manage to call 911 despite being in shock and, I'm sure, unimaginable suffering. And that call not only saved her life, but led to the finding of her attacker as well.
Well, police say 34-year-old Danielle Lane brutally assaulted the mother-to-be, cutting the baby from her abdomen. Now, ironically, the perpetrator took the baby to the same hospital that the victim was taken to, claiming that she had a miscarriage. Now, doctors and authorities quickly put two and two together, but sadly for the baby, it was too late.
That's right. Now, Craigslist reports close to 80 million ads on his website every month, and most go smoothly. But these spree of fatal events have been increasing. Recently, an older couple went to purchase the car of their dreams, a 1966 Mustang that they found on Craigslist. Instead, a South Georgia man was charged with their murders. Another event, Atlanta college student went to purchase an iPhone that he also found on Craigslist. Instead, he was robbed, shot, and killed.
Wow. Well, these type of crimes have motivated the Woodstock Police Department outside Atlanta to offer their parking lot as a neutral and safe zone for buyers and sellers to meet and carry out their transactions. Craigslist also warns sellers on its website about safe selling and buying. So they give you tips if you're selling and buying and how to try to be careful in a very uncontrollable world.
That's right. That's right. Never can tell. Well, the recent German Wings airline plane that crashed took the lives of all 150 people on board. Now, the investigation is focusing on one man, the 27-year-old co-pilot Andreas Lubitz. According to data on the flight recorder, Lubitz locked the captain out of the cockpit and took over the plane, crashing it into the French Alps. Moments before impact, screaming passengers can be heard on the flight recorder, as well as the pilot screaming and banging on the cockpit door. All the while, Andreas can be heard calmly breathing before the plane actually impacted the mountains.
Wow. Well, according to the data recorder, the 10 a.m. flight started normally. 30 minutes into the flight and after reaching cruising altitude of 38,000 feet, the captain asked Lubitz to take over, presumably to use the restroom. Now, that's when the co-pilot locked the door, took the plane out of autopilot, and started the 10-minute descent of terror.
Wow. Now, among the victims, there were three Americans and, of course, many people from different parts of the world. And one of the big questions is, why couldn't the captain get back into the cockpit, since the captain is the chief commander on that airplane? Well, ever since 9/11, airline manufacturers have increased security for cockpits to keep the quote-unquote bad guys out. Well, reinforcement on those doors are so strong that they cannot even be blown off the hinges by an explosive device.
Wow. Well, who would have thought the bad guy would be the one in the cockpit?
That's
already
right. Mm-hmm.
Well, another massacre in Kenya as terrorist group Al-Shabaab is blamed for slaughtering nearly 150 people. According to survivors, by the time Kenyan security forces arrived at the university, it was too late. The terrorist group was already inside, targeting Christians. Now, the group would ask victims questions from the Quran. If you get it right, you're spared. If you get it wrong, you're shot on the spot.
Hmm. One student who made it out to safety said as she made her way to a makeshift shelter, she saw many of her friends and classmates laying face down. It was then that she realized they had been killed. Some had been shot, many having gunshot wounds, some had their throat slit. Others were lying with their tongues hanging out, and she said it was just a horrifying, horrifying sight.
Relatives want to know why the university, who warned of an attack on campus, didn't take further actions to protect the students, saying also that the government has failed to protect its people.
Well, from Kenya to Yemen, we'll turn it over now to our field correspondent, Larry McGee, who has our report on the destruction that's going on around the world. Larry, what's making headlines in Yemen?
The nation of Yemen is currently under attack by warplanes coming from Vatican-backed Saudi Arabia. The latest round of strikes are reported to be hitting the Yemenese capital of Sana'a, and masses of innocent civilians are reported to have been killed so far in the Saudi airstrikes, which have been taking place over the last several days. Saudi rival and non-nuclear proliferation treaty poster child Iran sat down with the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany this week to begin nuclear negotiations in the Swiss city of Lausanne. The objective, according to reports, is to reach a mutual understanding regarding outstanding issues with respect to the Iranian nuclear energy program. To the east, Iran's next-door enemy, which is now being reported to be its friend, Iraq, was hit by two car bombs in the capital city of Baghdad this week, with 11 people having reportedly been killed and tens of others injured by the blast. Also in Baghdad this week, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon paid an official visit to Iraq, where he is slated to hold talks with several senior Iraqi officials, including its Prime Minister Hadir al-Abadi. Iraq's battle with what is being called terrorism is expected to be the primary topic of those discussions. UN Big Hat, the UK, is wrapped up in internal tussling this week as its formal elections are scheduled to begin Monday following a petition by its current Prime Minister to the Queen to dissolve its parliament. Meanwhile, UK ally, the US, is making more footprints abroad and creating tension on the Korean Peninsula after conducting joint military exercises with South Korea this week. North Korean crony Iran is apparently faring better these days, and its foreign minister is making talk show appearances promising the UN sanctions and the unilateral sanctions imposed by the US will be terminated once it concludes its final deal. Tehran is not finding similar success, however, in its call for Saudi Arabia to cease its strikes against Yemen, as the death toll now climbs into the hundreds, with Russia also presenting a draft resolution to the UN Security Council to halt the attacks. In Kenya, President Kenyatta is promising to go on the warpath in response to the recent massacre perpetrated by al-Shabaab militants at a Kenyan university, while NATO, the army of the Pope, is receiving pressure from German protesters accusing them of warmongering and instigating World War III. Major non-NATO ally Argentina is also in the news this week and is seeking to take legal action against several British firms in a bid to protect its country from the theft of its oil. For YPN News, I'm Larry McGee. Catan, Jeff, back to you.
Wow. You really got a feel for the citizens in these areas as they go through this turmoil with the war and everything taking place.
There's never any peace in their area, it seems.
That's right.
Well, the question on Iran's nuclear deal as talks continue is, deal or no deal? There's a series of checks and balances in place that will, according to negotiators, keep Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. There are three ways to prevent Iran from getting a weapon. We can have a long-term verifiable deal, they can take military action, or they can sanction them even more. But history has shown that when sanctions are in place, the Iranians advance their program even more.
So that's counterproductive. Now, one of the reasons these talks that'll lead to a nuclear deal with Iran should be pushed through by Congress, because many are speculating, will Congress pass this? Will they push it through? You know, the Republicans, the Democrats, well, they're saying Congress will push this through because the other two options that you just mentioned, Jeff, will leave us at a greater risk of war. Mm. Of course, no one wants that. Well, if you're tired and feeling uneasy with these articles that we just brought forth to you today and wondering where can you escape, what can you do to protect yourself and protect your family? Well, Yisroel Hawkins and the House of Yahweh is the only place on the face of the earth that has an answer, that has the peaceful solution. Here is what you can do to save yourself and your family.
Well, you can contact the House of Yahweh, and when you do, you can request your free Prophetic Word magazine and monthly newsletter. Now, you can write them at The House of Yahweh, P.O. Box 2498, Abilene, Texas, 79604. You can call them at 1-800-613-9494. Visit them on any of their websites, www.yahweh.com, www.yisroelhawkins.com, or www.yahwehsbranch.com. Now, you can also email them at info@yahweh.com, and for any calls outside the United States, please call the number on your screen.
Well, don't go anywhere. Up next, Yisroel Hawkins. For all of us here at YPN News, I'm Ketan Alexander.
And I'm Jeffrey Heimerman.
Thank you for watching.
If everyone could please stand, I hope everyone noticed that this blood death that is taking place in and around the great river Euphrates. And at this time, if everyone would please welcome the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. And what a beautiful crowd. This is beautiful. Praise Yahweh. Right, look at this, Yahweh. Look at it. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. If you notice that guy, he said, the next step is war. We can't get this thing worked out. It keeps getting worse. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Someone handed me some extra stuff. The eclipse. Did everyone see the eclipse yesterday morning? Yeah. Praise Yahweh. And then I saw it at 6:13. 6:13. Now, yesterday evening then, they called me and they said there's a double rainbow. And I looked at, praise Yahweh, I looked at the phone and I thought it said 6:13, but then I looked back this morning, it was 6:15 it came in. That was yesterday evening. And I think we took pictures of it for about an hour or something like that. But it was, that was when they called me. And then they also told me that in between those two rainbows was my face, which represents the House of Yahweh, of course. Plain as day, they said. As you can see, the world is really getting screwed up, and they're going deeper every day into sin and suffering and death, and of course, we're here to stop that, you and I. That's right. You know, raw milk has been dishonored now for years, and now they're changing their mind. I don't know if y'all saw the news on that, but there's a huge group that outvotes the pasteurizers. The pasteurizers are the are the popes. They're the one that does the pasteurizing. Gives the orders. one of the big things that I guess I missed, or I didn't understand it, one at the time, but on money talks, was they had this on money talks, and the man said, the question was asked, why did they, stop raw milk from going on the markets to begin with? And he said, well, it was causing sickness, but he said, the pasteurized milk causes more sickness. And he said, you might remember where so many hundred people was sickened with this and several died from Bluebell ice cream made with pasteurized milk. And of course that was what pastors from Rome brings forth. It always backfires in their face. The EU, here's something else that the pasteurizers in Rome is trying to bring forth. The EU chief, now you'll see more on this later, but the EU chief proposes wider Middle East quartet. And the whole article is about taking over the nations, of course. And that's Babylon. If you remember, you've shown the picture of Babylon in the news and in the scriptures. Genesis chapter 10, Babylon, and how this system started spreading from one place to another, and the kingdom started multiplying, and the people started joining them, mostly under threat of terrorism. Well, of course, that system's still going on today. We got terrorists coming from all directions now, and they claim they can't stop them. You can't. They just no way of stopping these the way they're set up now. So the terrorism is spreading. Now, we, of course, are not the only ones that's opposing this. The place where Pope Francis came from was Brazil. I think you all know that. But the Brazilians, the ultra-traditionalist bishops in Brazil, claim to be leading the resistance to Pope Francis, religious revolution, despite their own excommunications. So we've got people leaving the Catholic Church now. They're listening to things out there that's bringing their attention to things, like, for instance, it being hidden. I don't know how it's hidden. It's so plain for the house of Yahweh to see, but not seem like the world is hidden from the world, but it's now being revealed that where the Catholic Church came from and what that their religion is actually what they call Jews. But they're the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. If you go to Google, we're number 12 on the list here, if you can see it. Number 12 most people go to Google, or a lot of them do. And this article here on number 12 takes you to this article. This article says, Israel Hawkins tells scientists exactly what makes life function properly in new publication. My picture, if you notice, is on several lines there. It's going quite rapidly, covering the screen. Well, this article now on Google takes you to this one that says microorganisms do much more than you think. Now, this was newsletters that I wrote, and the responses were tremendous on these. as they are on almost every letter that that I write now. Hardcore proof, the House of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas, is the prophesied place, says Yisrael Hawkins. This was put out on 4-3. I believe that was Friday. The total headlines is 81,169. Now, this is new, total headlines is news medias that put this on their news program, that it takes this letter and puts it on their news program. Three of these they listed for me here. One of them is Fox, that has 5,665,590 watchers. So now, if you take 81,000, and of course that was the highest one, but the lowest one here is 2 million audience. So you can see how many people were really really reaching with these newsletters. The only thing that makes sense in the world today. Let me see if I had something behind that one. True Biblical Holy Days Exposed, says Yisrael Hawkins in new publication. That one is up to 93,000 newspapers running that ad right now. That letter, the whole letter. I think the letter was 45 pages. This one, the world does not have to continue in misery. Now, this one is 19,841,000. So the Pope is having a little trouble right now because we are opposing the Pope. Well, that's our job. The race is set before us. It's also set before him. And of course, we're the last part of the plan of Yahweh. If you can get this in your mind, there's two races being run here. They're not allowed to kill this house of Yahweh. The gates of hell will not prevail. Yeshua said. He's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. That's, if you don't know that now, it's written all through your Bible. It started in Genesis, but Yeshua was prophesied to be the high priest in Genesis 10. The righteous scepter of righteousness, that was his. That was promised to him in Genesis 10. He's the one that qualified for it, and he holds it now. And Daniel shows us exactly when it would start being opposed in the last days, because he limits the race here of the fourth kingdom that would take over all the world. Which every scholar knows that the fourth kingdom of Daniel 7. Yeah, I haven't seen a scholar yet that wrote anything in a commentary or anywhere that made any sense at all that didn't agree that the fourth kingdom of Daniel 7 is the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, who claims the keys of the blood. Well, see, we don't claim the keys of the blood. We claim the keys of righteousness. That's what makes the difference. Well, we're running the race with righteousness, pushing righteousness. The Pope's job is to push the evil of the gods. Genesis 3, verse 5. Push the evil of the gods, just like Satan did. Satan showed you, Yahweh showed you an example there. In Genesis 3, 5, do this, it's more desirable, and you'll be like the gods, evil, like the gods. Well, of course, that's what we're seeing in the world today. Surely no one could deny what we just saw on the news here today is evil. Well, it didn't begin there on the news. It began on the seven hills of Rome and was passed out to these nations, and of course they fell for it. They had to. They thought there was no other choice but to go to war to defend themselves. Well, they're doing a little bit more than defending themselves, you know, each time. After they get to where they can defend themselves, they want to take over. And of course, that's what they're trying to do. Not just them, the United States is trying to take over. Russia is trying to take over. Every nation would like to come out the winner. As Malachi Martin said in his book, The Keys of This Blood, he said, Russia wants to, it's a three-way play between the United States, the EU, and the UN, and Russia, the four, and says each one of these wants to come out on top. They're striving to. The United States thinks it's going to. The Pope, the Vatican Church, they think they're going to. You know, and of course they control the nations right now, but Yahweh shows that's going to change. Because they're seeing right now that what's coming forth from the Catholic Church is taking them deeper and deeper into war. So there's more complaints being made to the Catholic Church and saying, you know, this is not getting better. And the Pope is saying, what we really need, this was Benedict, what we really need is to resurrect the Holy Roman Empire. And they're saying, no, the Holy Roman Empire is what got us into this mess to begin with. And now all the nations are at war because of this system, the Nimrod system, that rebelled against Yahweh's laws and brought it down to the present time. That was their race. Their race is racing against Yahweh. Yahweh let them have it. In fact, he let them have it almost totally. Yeremia showed different writings, Isaiah and so forth. They also showed where it was going to end. Well, we're racing to bring forth, of course, Yahweh's way. The Israel Says program is going to be a big part in this. I can see why Yahweh inspired this program. You can take that program right now and type in Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, the Catholic Church. You can type in the Seven Hills of Rome. Any topic you can type in that program, and instantly it will bring it up and show you the prophecies explained. These prophecies have never been explained before. No, not even by the prophets and not by the apostles. They were inspired to write bits and pieces of these prophecies, but no one ever put it together and no one ever opened the seals to put it together until the last day's work. The seventh work of Yahweh, Revelations 10:7, I believe it is, shows in this time period, you and I, the house of Yahweh in this generation would be revealing these secrets of Yahweh that's been held secret all these years. The people couldn't understand it. This race that you saw that I brought a purpose on Yahshua's memorial because he's the high priest over this work, this race that we're running to bring forth Yahweh's way. And we're gaining ground daily against this beastly system. And you can see that. You can see that we're the people who are seeing this is saying, hey, this is truth. Of course, there's been many saying this for years and years. I remember a mechanic that came to the house, must have been 20 years ago, and he and his wife were the only ones that came out of that kindred. But he said when his dad read this, he told everyone in the family, this man is speaking the truth. And showed them in the scriptures, this man is speaking the truth. Well, they never did come except the mechanic and his wife, who are still here and working in the work of Yahweh. the Israel Sales Program, it's available, and the Kohan and Kohana Matthews are set up to teach anyone hands-on operation of this program. It's very easy. It's very simple, I'm told. I know nothing about the computer, and they said, I can have you doing this in 7 minutes. And I said, okay, we'll see. So I got a computer, but I was supposed to got with them before this, the first day. I still haven't got with them, but I'm going to get with them before this feast is out and see if this is right. But I'm sure it is. If you know anything about a computer, you could do it yourself easily, they say. But I don't know anything about computers. I started it one time, and I said, no, this is going to take up too much of my time, and I've got to enlist my time with the writings. That's what I've got to work on. But the groups are rising up. Brave people, brave organizations now are speaking their minds. They're getting braver all the time. It used to be when they would speak out, or if anyone kept the Sabbath or the feast days or used the name Yahweh, they saw how fast the United States would pounce on them. And of course, you've seen that. You've seen religions wiped out. The last one's right here close to us, the last two wiped out. They were supposed to hit the house of Yahweh when they hit Waco, but they didn't hit the house of Yahweh. And I think it had something to do with a man named Yahshua. And a Father in heaven named Yahweh. But these people that are rising up and speaking out now, they're getting braver all the time. And of course, groups are being formed. And we see this taking place, and we see what they're bringing forth is what we taught them. So we know that we're the ones that opened the door and brought the news to them that we're right and the Catholic Church is wrong. We know everything. The Catholic Church knows nothing. We know the secrets of Yahweh and are able to teach it to others. The schools are agreeing with us. The professors are agreeing. Hey, this is really something. This man's here. It really opened the door here. I need you to understand this race before this feast is over, because we are opposing Babylon, and of course that's the race, and we're prophesied to win the race. The world was given. Turn over to Daniel 7, and let me show you this in a nutshell here, and then we'll go and show you the bits and pieces of the prophet's writings and the apostles' writings. But Daniel 7, he shows this fourth beast, and he tells you when. And if you start with that in your mind, and you know that when and when the house of Yahweh would be established, you know, the prophet said in the last days, Yeshua said that last days means last generation. The very first chapter of Hebrews, if you'll notice it, not now, I'm mentioning too many things, I know, but I brought it. I was working on Hebrews the other night, if you remember, but the very first chapter actually shows you the first few verses there shows you this is speaking of the last day when Yahshua is actually leading a group of people. Wasn't talking about his disciples. Most of the disciples were killed at that time. That was taking place in about 62 A.D., just a few years, in fact, before the whole temple was destroyed. They were going after the disciples even before that. But here in Daniel now, 7, if you look at number 17, he said, these great beasts. Now, he described these earlier in chapter 2 and also again now in chapter 7. But he said, these great beasts are four. The great beasts that are four, that's the beast he just named right here in chapter 7, are four kings or kingdoms. The word is kingdoms, which will arise out of the earth. The earth, as Revelation showed, if you don't know the prophecies, if you don't know the book of Yahweh, the Holy Scriptures, you'd see that word earth, and you would think, well, they came up out of the graves, right? That these people came up out of the dirt. They just rose up out of the dirt all of a sudden, and this great kingdom and started ruling the world. Well, that's what some people said. Some preachers said, you're going to see these graves open up and these dead people come up and they're going to rule the world. That they, you know, the movies made movies of that. They walk like this. Hard to kill them, too, because they're already dead, you know. Surely y'all have seen Dracula. I was in Purcell, Oklahoma when I saw that show, and I had to walk 2.5 miles in the dark by myself. There was a cloud coming up. I got to tell you this. I could see a cloud. I couldn't get anyone to stop and give me a ride. Cars kept passing me, and I couldn't get a ride. And I saw this huge cloud coming with lightning, and that's the only way I could see is the lightning would flash, and I could see, and then I'd walk to where I could see. But I did see this barn off to my left, and I can still remember that barn in my mind. I don't know if it's still there or not. I should have had the men who went back to that location and checked things out to see. But I saw this barn, the hay barn, off to my left, which would have been south. I was going west, and in the lightning, and I thought, well, I got to take shelter there because this, you know, you could see this was a vicious storm coming. And so I climbed over the fence and went to the hay barn, and it wasn't locked, so I rolled the door back. I didn't even shut the door. I just rolled the door back, and when the lightning flashed, I could see the hay stacked, and I busted a bale of hay as a coastal Bermuda hay, and I busted a bale of hay, and I laid down in it, and it was so warm and cozy, and I went to sleep in a minute, I think. And I woke up the next morning with the cows in the hay barn with me, and they were snorting, and you know how cows do, and they woke me up. I wasn't scared, not at all. I was so peaceful, and it was almost like I knew I was being protected. And I was, praise Yahweh, well, I was. I found out later that I was. But it was a vicious storm and did a lot of damage. Well, back to Daniel. He says, out of the earth, Revelation shows out of the earth, Revelation 17:15, I think. It says the earth and the waters. It describes the waters and the sea, or the waters. The waters was multitudes, nations, and languages that he taught, that he ruled over. And out of the earth, of course, was the kingdoms of mankind there. But look at verse 18. And the saints of Yahweh will take the kingdom. That force is not really. It's inherit by law. That is, it's given to the house of Yahweh by law, first in Genesis 10. That's the first place it's given to us by law. And of course, we don't have the power. We wouldn't have the power to take it by force, not ever, until we're given full authority. But Yahweh doesn't want us to take it in that manner. He wants it taught. And all things will be accomplished in his laws of love, with his laws of love. And that's what we're teaching now, and it's advancing on this laws of hatred and force right now. But they will take it by inheritance, by law, and will possess the kingdoms. Notice, I told you the word kings means kingdoms. It's kingdoms possess these kingdoms forever and ever. And I would know the truth of the fourth beast, he says, which was different from all other, exceeding and dreadful, whose teeth of iron and so forth. And then verse, let's go on, dreadful, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth of iron and the claws and of bronze, which devoured broken pieces, trampled with a residue with his feet. Well, that's what you see in these films that we're showing you here now of the news. They have no love for these people. As the apostle said, the days are coming when men will be lovers of themselves, and of course, no love for the neighbor. It's the love grows cold as iniquity grows stronger. And Yahweh has given a time period to show and prove that to be true. Well, verse 20 now, he says, and the 10 horns, you remember the 10 horns of Revelations also, the 10 horns upon his head, and of the other horn, which we prove over and over, is verse 8, is the kingdom that sits on the seven hills of Rome, and also in chapter 17 shows you the same thing, which came up before whom three fell, Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. They fell. The actual wording there, as one of our farmers actually discovered, was they were plucked up by the roots and transplanted by Herod and his army. The roving army actually plucked up the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. And where did they take them? Titus. Remember Titus? They took them to Rome. After, when they got ready to leave Jerusalem, they plucked them up and took them to Rome, where they stayed hidden to try to disguise their identity for years, and then finally started calling themselves universal, which that's the word, what the word Catholic means. Whom three fell, that is, was plucked up and transferred. The horn that had eyes and a mouth and spoke very great things, that is, strong, mighty ways of war, whose look was more stout, that is, everyone was afraid of this nation or these four nations that they came to be, than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. Well, this now is what we're seeing in book two. Book two was written for us to show you this purpose. Made war with the saints. Now, and he shows us how he made war here in just a little bit. But notice verse 22, until, the word until. They made war with the saints until. Well, see, we couldn't stand under pressure against the United States Army, or not even the police of the city. They'd have the power over us unless Yahweh took it off of us. They showed this, and Yahweh showed it in the courts here. And Yahweh said, as a sign to you, this man is going to be hated above every person on the face of the earth. That also was proven in their courts here, right here. But the work wasn't destroyed until the Ancient of Days came and the judgment was given to the saints. That's what you see up here, inherited by law. That's the law going with us. We have the law on our side, because we're the ones that keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yahshua, our high priest. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of Yahweh, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdoms, possessed them. And that is what we're going to do, and you're going to see this in this generation. This is what he said. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Notice again the kingdom, word kingdom, which will be different from all other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth. That is what they have done. They, in fact, their historians, if you want to, I gave the, no, I haven't given the Priestly Boys those encyclopedias yet. You need to twist my arm. even you could look in an everyday encyclopedia, desk encyclopedia, and get the history of the Catholic Church, and you can see, or the Roman, Holy Roman Empire, they're both the same, and see that they, their historians, say, we rule the whole earth now. We're the rulers of the earth. The holy, they call themselves the Holy Roman Empire. Breaking pieces. You notice they don't teach them Yahweh's laws, but they rule the whole earth and will tread it down and break it in pieces. That's their job. That's the Pope's job. Going the way of the evil of the gods, make war, as Cain was prophesied to do. Have continual war. Well, what are we having now? We show it every Sabbath almost on the news. Continual war. And as the great Kohan Elia Hyler Hawkins said, if you noticed, it's around the great river Euphrates. In and around the great river Euphrates right now. But it spreads and will spread to the United States. In fact, New York is prophesied to get hit hard. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the others, from the first ones, and he will subdue three kings, and he will speak great words against Yahweh. What do you hear today? Mention the name Yahweh in public, and you will see the hatred that this man, this organization, has put in the minds of the people to hate the name Yahweh. House of Yahweh is even worse. The house of Yahweh, they hate also. Just mention the name, House of Yahweh. Ooh. Go try to go to class. No, don't do it. You could call them and talk to them. ACU or any of the three major universities here and sign up. They're so anxious to get you enrolled, you know, to take your money. $36,000, I think, is the tuitions. That was one of them that we have, too. We charge $36,000 to take the Peaceful Solution Character Education Force, which tuition is waived if you complete the course. Don't waste our time otherwise. Sign up, and if you complete that course, that will be waived. You'll owe nothing. Try to get them to waive that. Tell them you're from the house of Yahweh, and you'll see it. Oh. Oh. They want nothing to do with that bunch in the house of Yahweh. Why? What? Ask them why. Well, they're dirty, nasty people. No, tell me why. Tell me why. Please, tell me why you don't like them. You can't get them to tell the truth. But the truth is, they're just like Cain and Abel. Why did Cain hate Abel? Because Abel's works were righteous. That's 1 John 3. And Cain's was evil like the gods. Well, you see an inspiration there, an inspiration of Satan leading these people. They got their minds in a rut. And Yeshua said in, I think it's Luke 8:44, your teacher is Satan, the devil, and what she tells you to do, you're going to do it. Now, that's a fact, and you're a fool if you don't believe that right now. This is what's going on in the world, or they wouldn't be having wars like this that was prophesied back in Genesis. Continual war. and he will speak great words against Yahweh, will wear out, mentally attack, to fall away, cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, and think to change Yahweh's feast days and laws. The history shows who did this, who changed this. They will be given into his hand. Did you see that prophecy? They're given to him to do this. In fact, the book of Yahweh was given into his hand totally to take it away totally from the people. And for 1,500 years, it was hidden in Rome. The book of Yahweh. All the writings of the apostles, when they killed the apostles, when they murdered the apostles, they took all their writings, they confiscated their writings. They do that now. When they destroy a church like they did here at down here at San Angelo or in Waco, everything there is taken that can be taken, and the Catholic Church would latch on to that and hold it. And of course, it would be there for people to read, but it's only their people that had the authority over it that could read it. Some of these people became converted. Tyndale was one of them. Wycliffe was one of them. I think it was Wycliffe that the popes actually dug his bones up and burned them and then scattered them. It was one of them that had something to do with these manuscripts of the apostles and prophets and had a hand in actually getting this translated so it could be ready for this generation that started in 1934. The last generation. Praise Yahweh. And they will be given into his hand until a time and times and the divided time. Who would know what that is? It's never been written before except by the house of Yahweh and explained. The time and the time and the dividing of times. Then what would take place? Then Yahweh would inspire his house to be established at that time period. And his house would bring forth, it would start a race to catch up with the Pope and the Catholic Church, the Vatican, and to completely overwhelm them with truth. That's what we're prophesied to do. Isn't that a beautiful thing? But notice he gives you the time up until that time period. The time when the house of Yahweh, 1934, the witness was born. The house of Yahweh was also, so he could establish the house because Zechariah 6 shows that he and Yahshua would rule together there, would actually work together establishing the house of Yahweh. And this even tells you that this witness would come from the ends of the earth. Look up Oklahoma. Study the history of Oklahoma, and you'll find out that was the last lands that actually was given for the people to control and manage. The last lands on earth. The ends of the earth. And that's where the witness was born. In a hidden place. Hidden from the gods. Look up the persecution. Any dictionary or encyclopedia, but the Des dictionaries condense it, but it's really great what the way they have it. It'll stick in your mind without having to read books of letters and so forth. But it describes it fully. How the Catholic Church advanced all of this time, and they called some of the people, like the Puritans and others who held up for the Holy Scriptures, they were persecuted. The Mormons, read the torture that these men went through, these people went through, because they were trying to follow Scripture. They didn't want Scriptures followed, even though it was a land of freedom of religion, and that was the constitutional rights given to establish this United States. They still persecuted, this history says this, the Everyday Encyclopedia, Desk Encyclopedia Dictionary has this. They still persecuted these religions, and the Mormons, they lined them up in front of a firing squad and killed a bunch of them. Anyway, this has gone on ever since the Catholic Church, by huge numbers, they sent people here, Catholics, to the United States before it became a United States. They sent their people here to take over, establish schools, and of course those schools are still established, and they're teaching what the popes say. Right now they're teaching sodomy in every school in America. There may be some that's refusing to teach it. There's some that wants to. Arkansas and Texas is one, two of them that don't want it taught, but they're getting big opposition. They will be given into his hand until the time and the time times and the divided time. We're the only ones that's brought that out to to make it understandable to the people. Now notice, but the judgment will set, and they will take away his government to consume and to destroy it completely. Well, we're hacking away at that right now, that government that they have established, the government of war, of force and fighting and hatred, the continual war. We, right now, in this race to bring forth righteousness, yes, we are destroying that mountain, that big mountain that is sets before us, and it will become like a pebble, the prophet said, like a little pebble, a grain of sand that you will walk on. That's what we're prophesied to do, you and I. Can you believe that? Tell me if you can. Praise the Lord. Then the kingdoms and the governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This one will not be destroyed. And all governments will serve and obey Him, Yahweh. And that was the account shown in Daniel. Now, we're out of time, but the next time I speak, yeah, no. But keep this in mind, because I've laid the foundation here for you. We are running a race. We're running a race with those who are bringing forth evil, war, sickness, disease, and fighting and hatred, because the increase of iniquity, the love of the many will grow cold. Yeshua said in Matthew 24:12, many false prophets throughout the whole earth. Revelations 9:12-9, the whole world is deceived at this time. And the earth is going to destroy itself. Isaiah 24:1-6, because of this, the earth will be burned and few men left. Those few men left is about 2 billion that we see, people, mankind left, that is going to turn to Yahweh. The quartet, what is left of the quartet that they're wanting to enlarge to destroy the earth, they're actually, what is left of them is actually going to turn to Yahweh, the scripture showed. Those kingdoms will be given to us, and pretty soon after that, then they will be part of the kingdom of Yahweh, along with you. That's you. Yeah. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you.